Right, so yeah, we're looking at Jesus today, as we do most weeks, and we're looking at the phrase Emmanuel, which means God with us, okay? You may have heard it a lot of times, but this morning might look a little bit different to what we're used to, okay? We're not delving right into the thick of that passage. We're just focusing on the name Emmanuel, okay? And seeing what that means to us, and as John already said, how we're to respond and how that impacts our lives, because it is really amazing. But starting off, there's a story about a man who was going on a motorbike ride. It's a true story. It's brilliant. And he was going on a motorbike ride through the canyons in America somewhere. And this is his words now, okay? He said this. I was putting gas in my bike when a guy comes in on the goofiest looking bike and starts talking to me. He fills up and then asks me if I want to go on a bike ride through the canyons with him. So I joined him and we went on with each other. We stopped off at a few places and looked at the views, chatted about life and what we're seeing, how amazing it is. Then I thought of a place where we could go for food, where I've been before. And so we went to the restaurant, but the restaurant was closed. And said, what are we going to do because the restaurant's closed? To which the man who he joined him said, don't worry, they'll open it. And as the man took the helmet off, it was none other than Brad Pitt underneath. And this guy the whole time had been going through the canyons in America with none other than Brad Pitt. Just been chatting about life, about what he's seeing, about everything that's going on. And it was Brad Pitt the whole time. And I tell you what the guy said, the restaurant could not open its doors quick enough. And he said, that was the greatest meal he's ever had. The waiters were waiting on them hand and foot, every word, had the best food they could ever have. And he's crazy, isn't he? He had no idea who was with him the whole time. And I think this is what we do as Christians all the time around Christmas, and indeed in our lives. As we look at the word Emmanuel, we love the way it sounds, we sing it a lot, we say it, we read it out in our carol service, Emmanuel, God is with us, that Jesus is with us, yet we can so easily forget and miss the point. If we just take off the helmet and see who is actually with us, like God is with us through Jesus, through this tiny baby, if we understand who God is, man, it'll blow our view of Christmas wide open. You know, I often find it hard to keep my mind focused on the right things at Christmas. You know, it's so easy, it comes into material stuff and, I'm getting a drone this year or whatever, that'd be great. But we can so easily forget. But if you understand this word Emmanuel and understand its meaning and the depths of it, you won't have trouble. You won't have trouble at all. It is absolutely incredible that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So, yeah, today we're going to look at who it is that's with us. So we say God is with us. Well, who's God? We're going to look at two aspects of God this morning and just pray that blows our view of Jesus wide open, of God, who he is. So the first aspect we're looking at today is all powerful, okay? So you don't have to go far to find out that God is all powerful. Go to the first verse in the Bible on the first page, Genesis 1, verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Huge verse. And again, we can pass over that easily and quickly, but it means so much to us. Okay, so here is the earth. Okay, I don't know what scale this is, but it's a lot smaller. Here is the earth. This is what God made, okay? And we say God made it, but it's absolutely mad, okay, when you think about it. The earth weighs 6 sextillion tons, okay? I don't have an analogy for how heavy that is. That is ludicrously heavy. That is a 6 with 21 zeros behind it. And yet, somehow, the earth just hangs in nothingness. Now, I know some of you will be thinking, well, I know the science behind that. I know how it works. But just think about that. That is absolutely mad. It is 6 sextillion tons and it hangs. That's mad. And also, whilst it's hanging, it is flying around a blazing ball of fire that we call the sun. We're like, oh, nice sunny holiday. This is a ball of raging fire, okay? And the earth is flying around at 67,000 miles per hour around this sun. That's crazy, isn't it? And if our trajectory were to get just 5% closer, we'd burn up and die. 5% further away, we'd freeze and we wouldn't be able to, well, live because we'd be frozen. And also, whilst it's flying around at 67,000 miles per hour, we're also spinning on our axis at 1,000 miles per hour. And yet we don't feel a thing. Now, if you know science and that is just like, well, I know this, then you have lost the awe of your science. That is absolutely mad that that is what's happening. But you know, let's go into it a bit more. See, the earth is so finely made, okay, that if the earth's gravitational pull was any bigger, then we'd be crushed. If it was any thinner, we wouldn't be able to have seas and water, we wouldn't be able to survive. If the earth's crust, the thing you walked on, were any thicker, it would absorb all the oxygen underneath. If it was any thinner, then we'd have too many volcanoes. We'd all be blown up by lava, okay? Even the oxygen in the atmosphere is 21% of our atmosphere is oxygen, right? Okay, if it was 25%, we'd have fires just bursting everywhere. We'd die by fire. If it was 15%, we wouldn't be able to breathe. We'd suffocate. Even the fact that we've got a 24-hour cycle in the day is so key to life. If it was 25 hours, we'd have too many deadly tornadoes and hurricanes to be able to have any kind of civilization. 23 hours, and it would have too many hot and cold kind of summers and winters, so we wouldn't be able to survive. It's absolutely finally made. It's incredible. And all the while this is happening, we are surrounded by not one, but 500 other solar systems with their own blazing fireballs, their own planets flying around. That's not 500, but I couldn't be bothered to do 500. 500 of that and 200 billion stars. Got a word there. That is crazy. How big is that? And you know what? That's just in our galaxy. Our galaxy is one of the smallest galaxies in the universe, and astronomers estimate... Now, where's Nicole? She's our local astronomer. Astronomers estimate that there are between 100 to 200 billion other galaxies that we know of, okay? That's just in our known universe. This is what actually just blows my mind. Not that, I don't know what that is. Some stars. Okay, this is what blows my mind, all right? That astronomers say that if this light bulb is our known universe, okay, that's all we've known and understood so far in the universe, then the rest of the universe waiting to be discovered would be the size of Pluto. So here's our 200 billion galaxies, and there's Pluto. And again, that's not obviously on scale. That is, can anyone else just be like amazed by that? That is ginormous, absolutely huge. And some people like to say and think that this all came about by accident, okay? But can I be very clear? The Bible definitely does not say that it was an accident. It says, no, this could not happen by accident. This happened by an all-powerful creator God, which Psalm 33 says, and he breathed out the stars. And that's just poetic. He didn't actually do that, but breathed out the stars. How powerful he is. Just look at some of the verses in Genesis. Okay, Genesis 1 verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke, and light came into being. Verse 16, he also made the star. A cast-off comment for billions and trillions of burning balls of fire and gas there are in the world, in the universe. He's a ginormous God, isn't it? He's huge. And in fact, God often says that, who else are you going to compare me to? He knows all of the universe. He created the way it runs and the laws to govern it. He knows from the largest events down to the smallest, the beginning of a star, the ending of a star, down to the hairs in your head. It's got a bit easier for me for him. Down to every movement of an atom. He knows it all. He's that big. I wonder, do we need a bigger picture of God in our lives this morning? I certainly do. I forget that he's the God who put this whole universe in motion regularly. And he says to his people all the time in the Bible, when his people turn away from him and look to someone else, he's like, who else are you looking to? There's no one powerfuler than me. I made all this. Our God is an all-powerful God. And he did it effortlessly, absolutely effortlessly. Okay, looking at our second aspect now is God is holy. Now, holy is a weird and hard word to understand because we don't use it, and we don't really have a concept of people in our lives who we probably say is holy. That's a big thing to say. But holiness basically means that you are set apart, okay? You're like none other. You're on a whole other level, above everything and anything, or utter perfection. And God is called holy many times throughout the Bible. And a good place, I think, to see God's holiness is in a book called Isaiah chapter 6. You can turn there if you want. We're going to spend a little bit of time in there now. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Some of you may be very familiar with it. And that is where we get like a nice pictorial example of holiness, what that looks like, what that is. So if you're there, go for it. It's on the screen as well, so don't worry if you're not. All right, I'm going to read it from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died,
I, this is Isaiah speaking, who is a prophet, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, that's a fancy angel, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah speaking now, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Here is this guy, Isaiah, who is a prophet, who is a guy. A prophet is a person who God gave a message to speak to people. So he was telling people about God. And all of a sudden, one day, Isaiah is just transported into the presence of God. And he interrupts what you might like to think or call is the procession of the Almighty. It would be a little bit like interrupting the Queen's Golden Jubilee. Now, I know there are other Jubilees, but this is arguably one of the most grandest, okay? So picture it, picture this, okay? She's coming down the road on her golden encrusted chariot. It's beautiful, just craft work gone into that, isn't it? And there's jewels all over it, pulled by the finest horses that England has to offer, stallions or something. And they have jewels in their straps, and it's incredible, it's majesty, isn't it? And she's surrounded by nobles on horseback with their puffy, poncy hats. And she's got hundreds of guards lining the streets. It's amazing. There's thousands of people again lining the streets, all trying to get a glimpse of her, all trying to look, and they're cheering and they're screaming. Yes, there's angelic-like voices of choirs filling the air. It's much like our music on a Sunday morning. Filling the air, and it's an amazing moment, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, imagine it, you are transported into the road in your dressing gown, and you stood there. And the chariot comes to a screeching halt. The horses whinny. The guards just stop and stare. Thousands of eyes are now on you. The TV cameras of the world are looking at you. The angelic choirs clang a note. How would you be feeling? Okay, if you can have any kind of resonance with that, if you can understand any kind of embarrassment you may have, you're going to have to times that by a million for what Isaiah is feeling. Because he has not been transported in front of a human king or queen, but in front of the God Almighty, the Lord, the creator of the universe, that we just looked at, big God. He's been transported right in front of him. And it's not thousands, but it'd be millions of beings just singing out his praises. And there's not angelic-like voices, but there's angelic beings themselves crying out, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And they're singing so loud that the very thresholds of the building is shaking. And Isaiah looks at that. Isaiah just looks at that and thinks, "I'm done. This is it." Because he's just so broken by what he's seen. And here's why. Because sinners can't stand in front of a holy God. You see, we said God is holy, he's perfect, he's like none other, but he's just perfection. The angels can't look at him because he's too pure. And Isaiah, a filthy man from the Middle East, he's now stood in front of him, and he's like, and staring right up at him, and he's like, "I can't be here. This cannot be happening to me." And he cries out, "Woe is me," doesn't he? "I'm done." Why? Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. In other words, he says, "I'm a sinner, and I know it." And look, sin is any wrong we do. Sin is anything which we commit in our lives, which we know is wrong. We all do that, we know. We let people down. We say things we shouldn't do. We regret actions we have. But God never does. He's perfect. And he can't have sin in front of him. It's staining his perfection, isn't it? Staining his holiness. So Isaiah knows he's done there. Now, do read the rest of that story, because it is absolutely amazing what happens next to Isaiah. You'd think you know that God would get rid of him, but God again acts in ways which we don't expect and don't understand, yet he does something amazing for Isaiah. So do read that in your own time. But we're going to move on, because that really just resonates for us in this. So we've seen that God is an all-powerful, big creator God, and he's the holy God that no one can come close. Angels can't even look at him. So it just blows my mind. When we read this verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." That this baby is now God with us. Jesus is God with us in baby form. Everything we've just read, everything we've just seen. This is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely mind-blowing when you read it. That God, the creator of this complex universe and the mind-blowing size of our solar system and suns, the one who breathed out the stars, is now struggling to breathe out oxygen and needs to breathe out oxygen. The untouchable Holy One, the one which no one could ever come close to, the one which we couldn't look at, couldn't be in his presence, is now needing to be held by a 12-year-old girl. That's an astronomical drop, isn't it? That is absolutely huge. And he's lying in a filthy feeding trough, the one who is utterly perfect, couldn't have any wrong in his sight. This should blow our picture of Christmas wide open, understanding the God who is with us. Absolutely amazing. The one who was dependent on no one and for eternity past required nothing is now needing attention from his mother to survive. He's now needing to be fed. He can't lift a fork or a cup. He's needing attention. That is absolutely amazing. This baby boy who was born to us in the first Christmas is the encapsulated God Almighty, the one for eternity past was praised day and night by thousands and myriads of angels. And he's now being worshipped by filthy shepherds in a awful room with cows and cattle and all these things. This is God with us, the one who hung the earth in space, who lit the blazing fire of the sun, who was just invincible and perfect and powerful. No one could be like him. He has now taken on our human frailty and entered into our suffering. He experienced it firsthand. You think God doesn't know what it's like to suffer? Oh, he really does. He entered into an awful situation with his young mum and dad in the first place. It was hard. God took on our frailty from the invincibility to frailty. And he's now lying in a dirty, dirty trough. This is God with us. This is Emmanuel. A powerful, powerful name. And as I said before, the drop is astronomical. There is nothing you compare it to. I can't think of any analogy which I can use which would accurately describe it. There's no words even that we can say to help us get this into our heads. That is a huge drop. You know what's more amazing as well? This is what's absolutely incredible for us. He said he did all that for you. All that for you. Not a collective you and think, well, he's done that for somebody. No, no. He knows you by name and he did it for you. He did it for you, Paul. Did it for you, Bev. Did it for you, Lily. He came, God came down from heaven into human frailty for you. And if we just look a little bit earlier in the passage in Matthew, verse 21, he said, call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Why has he come? To save you from your sin. Because he wants you with him. You see, Isaiah couldn't approach him in his sin, could he? So God approached us. He came down from the heights of glory and entered in, and he's come to take our sin. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely amazing. So that you and me can be with him, because he can't stand being without you. Such is his love. Doesn't need it, but he wants you. Wants every one of us. You see, this is the message of Christmas. This is the message of the Bible. He came for sinners to make us clean so that we can be with him. I wonder if you do feel unloved now and then. Do you feel struggling by not being wanted or needed now and then from people? It hits us all. Know this. The God of the universe, the one who created the billions of stars, left it all for the sake of you. What other person do you need to love you? When you know that the God of everything came for you. Oh, just absolutely rocks my world when I think about it. He came, God came for us. This is, as I said, the message of Christmas, the meaning of Emmanuel. And as we take off the helmet and see who it is that is truly with us, it changes our lives. The untouchable Holy One came, needed to be touched, needed to be held by a young mother, and eventually would be held on a cross as nails are driven through the very hands of the God who made everything, as people are spitting and mocking him, loving the fact that he's dying, and he's the one who put their life in motion. There is no greater message of love, there's no greater message of sacrifice we've ever heard, that this God, great King, would come and die for you. And as he died on the cross, he took on the sins of the whole world, took on all your wrongs so that you can have his perfection. You can be clean and enter into heaven with him. You know what? It's a truly amazing message what we know in the Bible. The awesome God Most High coming as Jesus Christ to save you, Emmanuel. God is with you. And you know what? It's not a restaurant that opens up to you when you trust in this God. You say, yes, I know that you died for me. I know that. I believe it, that you took my sin on the cross, that you are the God of everything. It's not a restaurant that opens up to you, but it's the whole of heaven that opens up and now beckons you in. That's incredible. That now if you put your trust in him, we know for certain that we can be in heaven with him when we die. It takes away the sin of death, takes away the fear that we have so close to us from the moment we're here, that God would come to save you. So I wonder, have you put your trust in him before? If not, why not do it today? Why not do it in Christmas 2019? This message is absolutely true and absolutely incredible. I've never seen anything like it or heard anything like it at all. But also for those of you who have been long-term Christians, I wonder in Christmas, do you find it hard to remember actually what we're celebrating? Do you find it hard to keep your eyes focused on the true meaning and keeping your family together knowing the truth? Well, remember Emmanuel, that as you take off the helmet and you see that God is with you, the God who is the awesome creator and the God who's the untouchable Holy One came down for you and died for you. Amazing.